This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It is good to have you with us. It is Wednesday, the 10th day of April, 2024. Oh, good to have you with us. This is the final episode of Squirrel Chatter this week. I'm going to be gone tomorrow and Friday, so there will be no Squirrel Chatter. I am heading over to Oregon to visit with my brother Kofi and his dear family for a couple of days. But I will be back on Monday, Lord willing. Looking forward to heading over to Oregon tomorrow, although I'm going to be leaving very early in the morning. It is my intent to see my see Squirrel Manor in my tail, in my rearview mirror, about 5 a.m. tomorrow. Mrs. Squirrel has already told me to be quiet when I leave and not wake her up. So we'll endeavor to do that as much as we can. Just going to be gone a couple of days, but, you know, looking forward to seeing Kofi, who I haven't seen in over a year, and meeting his newest family member, his daughter, Rosie. So looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to the road trip. I have downloaded the newest episode of the Just Thinking podcast with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker. And I'm looking forward to listening to that. It is 3 hours, so it'll get me about a quarter of the way there tomorrow. Yes, it's a long drive. I'll be enjoying the trip in my Miata. So it'll just be me in my Miata with podcasts and music and preaching and whatnot as I head down the road. Supposed to have rainy weather. It's not going to be, you know, the best of weather, but it will be fine and I'll have fun and it's just going to be a good trip. I'm looking forward to it. All right. What do we got coming up today? Well, first off, this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on Twitter, Facebook, and Rumble. We drink coffee on air, and the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com, check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. All right. What do we got coming up today? We have scripture readings from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 1. And our study Bible level Bible study continues. We are in Deuteronomy 32. Let us now begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience in the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All right, our scripture reading today are Exodus 25 and Psalm 75. Exodus 25 and Psalm 75. Exodus 25. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak with the sons of Israel, so that they take a contribution for me. From every man whose heart is willing, you shall take my contribution. And this is the contribution which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. And let them make a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among you, according to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furniture. Just so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, and 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out you shall overlay it, and you shall make a gold molding around it. You shall cast 4 gold rings for it, and fasten them on its 4 feet. And 2 rings shall be on one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the side of the ark to carry the ark with them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it. You shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and 1 cherub at the other. From 1 piece you shall make the mercy seat with the cherubim at its 2 ends. The cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings, with their faces toward one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all which I will command you for the sons of Israel. You shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a gold border around it. You shall make for it a rim of a handbreadth around it, and you shall make a gold border for the rim around it. You shall make 4 gold rings for it and put rings on the 4 corners which are on its 4 feet. The rings shall be close to the rim as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, so that with them the table may be carried. You shall make dishes and its pans and its jars and its offering bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold. You shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand, its base and its shafts are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of the same piece. Six branches shall go out from its sides, three branches of the lampstand from its one side, and three branches of the lampstand from its other side. Three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms on the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So for the six branches going out from the lampstand and in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. And a bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the six branches coming out of the lampstand. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of the same piece. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps seven in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. And its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made from a talent of pure gold, with all these utensils. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain. And now, Psalm 75. The 75th Psalm. For the choir director, Al-Tasheph, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your name is near. Men recount your wondrous deeds. For I select an appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not raise up the horn. Do not raise up your horn on high, nor speak with insolent pride. For one's rising up does not come from the east nor from the west, and not from the desert. But God is the judge. He puts down one and raises up another. For a cup is in the hand of Yahweh, and the wine foams. It is full of his mixture, and he pours from this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. But as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, and all the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be raised up. This is the word of the Lord. And now our daily readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 1. Today's devotional is Supremacy Over Demons. And just to keep you on track, we are up to August 3rd in the devotional. Again, we didn't start at the beginning of the year, and we're not reading every day. We're only reading during the broadcasts, and so we have fallen off the calendar quite far. I always point that out because every once in a while I'll get an email. I can't find where you're reading from. So we are in August 3rd today. Today's devotional is Supremacy Over Demons. And he said to them, go. And they came out and went into the swine. And the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. Matthew 8:32. Dr. MacArthur writes, our Lord Jesus will always have the upper hand over demonic forces. But we should never forget that demons, as fallen angels, still possess tremendous power and strength. See Daniel 10:21, Revelation 12:4. For example, when God sent an angel with a message for Daniel, a demon named the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia delayed the angel for 3 weeks, and God had to send Michael the Archangel to help the other divine messenger, Daniel 10:13. Wicked angels are superior to humans in many ways. Intelligence, Ezekiel 28:3-4, strength, Mark 5:4, Acts 19:16, powers to do signs and false wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, and in experience having existed much longer than mankind. As spirit beings, they are not bound by time, space, or form. Thus, only Christ has sufficient power to bruise Satan's head and cast him and his forces into the lake of fire and brimstone forever. Revelation 20, verse 3 and 10. It required tremendous supernatural power to expel so many demons from the two men and into the pigs, yet he accomplished the feat in an instant. Knowing all this, we as God's children must remember that only with his armor, especially the shield of faith, can we withstand attacks from demons, Ephesians 6:16, and be victorious over their schemes. Ask yourself, how have you been taught to deal with the forces of darkness and evil? By taking them on in direct spiritual confrontation? By ignoring them and acting as if they don't exist? Let Jesus be your total confidence in all such matters of warfare. One thing I want to take exception to, I don't normally disagree with Dr. MacArthur, but he says that angelic beings, angels and demons, being spirit beings, are not bound by time, space, or form. Well, I would say they're not bound by space or form, but Daniel 10 would seem to indicate that they are bound by time, because the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood the heavenly messenger for 21 days. There was a period of time during which that took place. So I would not say that they're not bound by time. I don't think that is given sufficient warrant in Scripture. And I say that full well, knowing who I'm disagreeing with and not wanting to start that fight. the other thing is that if you are interested in spiritual warfare, I highly recommend Pastor Jim Osmond's book. And I believe the title is Spiritual Warfare. I'd have to look it up. But excellent book on the subject. All of his books are great. His book, God Does Not Whisper, is fabulous. His book on spiritual warfare is fabulous. And I highly recommend his work. So Jim, you know, send that check. I'm recommending your stuff. No, it doesn't happen. I do not get kickbacks. It's interesting. All of the profits from Jim's books actually go to the missionaries his church supports. He doesn't make any money off them, which is an amazingly gracious thing for him to do. I think his first book was directed at the building of their church building, contributed to that, and then since then it goes to, I believe, to the missionaries they support, but some of it might go to the support of the church as well. But, you know, none of it's going into his personal bank account. So, or at least it's only passing through. and I think that's a remarkably gracious thing. Love Jim. Looking forward to heading over there in June, where we're hanging out there for the weekend. Dr. Owen Strand will be up there. It's talking about biblical masculinity. It's going to be a good weekend. So I'm looking forward to that. And Kootenai Bible Church in Kootenai, just a couple hours away from me, much closer than Oregon, which is where I'm going tomorrow. All right. Study Bible level Bible study. We are in Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 32. We are finishing up chapter 32 today. We have two paragraphs. We just finished looking at the Song of Moses, in which Moses recounted God's goodness, God's gracious deliverance and provision for Israel, Israel's hard-hearted rebellion against God, and God's promised judgment on their rebellion. And the song ends with a promise of atonement and redemption. Verse 43 says, O nations, cause his people to shout for joy, for he will avenge the blood of his slaves, and he will render vengeance on his adversaries, and he will atone for his land and his people. So we're picking up in verse 44 today. Then Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and Joshua the son of Nun. Then Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said to them, Place in your heart all the words which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to be careful to do, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you will prolong your days in the land, which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. These words are your life. Israel is to obey the Lord's commands. Christians, we are to obey the Lord's commands. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Yeah. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, he said in the Sermon on the Mount, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So do not ever try to divorce faith from obedience. You can't do it. It's not the way God has set it up. We are not Christians because we obey God. We obey God because we are Christians. We have been born again and regenerated and given new life. Our sins have been forgiven. You know, by grace are you saved through faith. This is not of yourself, it's a gift of God, so that no one can boast. But we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Obedience is an undeniable part of the Christian faith. So whenever somebody tells you you don't have to obey God, all you have to do is believe, they're missing the point. Because if you believe God, you will obey him. What you believe affects what you do, and that is something that is sadly overlooked in many circles these days. But what you believe affects what you will do, and if you are a believer, you will obey God. So Moses, after speaking all these words, he kind of reiterates what he said at the beginning. If we go back to the beginning of chapter 32, he said, Moses spoke in the hearing of all Israel, in all the assembly of Israel, the words of this song until they were complete. Okay, no, I didn't say it. I guess I just read it when I read the whole chapter when we started this. So he's saying that these are words that you are to remember. And I do remember saying that music is something we remember. I believe I mentioned certain 80s pop and rock songs, which will come on the radio, and I still know the lyrics. Yeah, some of these songs, no, some of them, I got a pretty good 80s playlist on my phone, but some of these songs I haven't heard in decades, and yet I hear the music and the words come back to me. Alzheimer's studies have shown that music is one of the last things that the mind holds on to as the memory deteriorates, and that there have been people in, you know, Alzheimer's memory care treatment centers, and somebody will come in and play music, and music from their youth, and they start singing along, they perk up. It kind of wakes them up. So music is important, which I think I'll reiterate, is one of the reasons why the music we choose for our worship services is every bit as important as the preaching of the word. Now, the preaching of the word is the central act of the worship service. And the preaching of the word is the great is the tool that God uses for the redemption of his people. But, you know, the singing of the word is important too, which is why our hymns and our songs need to be scriptural. They need to be doctrinal. They need to have some depth to them because we learn from them. And they affect our thoughts. They affect our beliefs. So, you know, having deep songs that teach the truths of the faith is very important in our worship service. So he gave this song to the people. And he says, these words, place them in your heart. All the words which I am warning you today. So again, this is a warning song. It's not really a joyous, uplifting song. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks while we've been reading through this, it's, pretty much full of doom and gloom. God is great. You're going to rebel against him, and he's going to crush you, but not completely, because in the end, he is going to have mercy, and he is going to atone for his people. But we need to remember that not everyone who is of Israel is Israel. Not every physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is among the elect Israelites who are going to be saved. Just like the vast numbers of most ethnic groups, all ethnic groups, aren't going to be saved. Remember, the gate is straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. That is a sobering thought. Now, we don't know who those few are until they repent and believe. So we proclaim the gospel to everyone, but God saves those who are his. And these words are going to, teach them to your sons. And he says, command them to your sons. Command your sons to obey God's word. Command your sons to be careful to do all the words of this law. Carefully. Pay attention to the details. Don't just kind of wave your hand at it. Pay attention to the details. The details matter. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. It is your life. This is the key to living. Now, for the Israelites, all the promises were, temporal and physical and, conditional. If you obey, you will live long in the land and prosper. If you disobey, you will be, destitute and cast out. So this song was supposed to be, a great anthem that the people would know. So it should be frequently repeated to the people. This should be a song that they sing constantly. Which is why I said yesterday, I don't understand why, well, I do understand in a human sense, why the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees were so arrogant about their Jewishness, their human pride and arrogance. But it shows an ignorance of their own scriptures, because this song that we have just read talks about Israel's constant rebellion and God's judgment upon them and that he would not spare them. So something to definitely consider but he says, it's not an idle word for you. It is indeed your life. And by this word, you will prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. So repeating that this is a temporal and conditional covenant that God made with Israel out Mount Sinai. And again, the covenant made at Mount Sinai is the old covenant that the new covenant replaced. The old covenant is not the Abrahamic covenant, because the new covenant is an outworking of the Abrahamic covenant. And God promised Moses, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That was a promise of the coming Messiah. The new covenant is accomplished promise of the coming Messiah. And so the new covenant replaces the old covenant, which was the temporal and conditional covenant of Mount Sinai. It is replaced with a eternal and unconditional covenant inaugurated at the cross. So I'm sure we will discuss that later, because we will be going through Jeremiah after we go through Isaiah. All right. Verse 48. And Yahweh spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up to this mountain of the Abiram, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab opposite Jericho, and look at the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel for a possession. Then die on the mountain where you ascend, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hur and was gathered to his people, because you both acted unfaithfully with me in the midst of the sons of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Because you both did not treat me as holy in the midst of the sons of Israel. For you shall see the land at a distance, but you shall not go there into the land which I am giving the sons of Israel. So this is the anticipation of Moses' death. Moses is at the end of his life. He is 120 years old, I think, right around there. He spent 40 years in Egypt. He spent 40 years in Midia, caring for his father-in-law's flocks. And he spent 40 years in the wilderness with the Israelites, as that entire generation had to die off before God would allow the next generation to enter into the promised land. So he was 120 years roughly. I think we're probably told exactly. Let me see. Chapter 34, verse 7. Now Moses was 120 years old when he died. Okay, so. But it also says his eye had not dimmed and his vigor had not diminished. He was a spry 120-year-old man. So we have here the foretelling of his death. And then 34 is the recording of his death, probably by Joshua, at the end of the book. And so between them, we have chapter 33, which is the blessings of Moses, and we'll be looking at that starting next week. Now, Mount Nebo is a peak east of the north end of the Dead Sea, and it's from there that he could look across the Jordan and see the southern end of the land of Canaan, the promised land, which he was not going to be allowed to enter because of what had happened at Meribah Kadesh when he misrepresented God the Father to the people of Israel. God had instructed Moses to speak to the rock so that it would give forth water to the people. Instead, Moses yelled at the people and struck the rock. God, in his grace, gave forth water for the people, but he was angered at Moses because he said to Moses, you have conveyed to the people that I was angry with them, and I was not. So Moses had misrepresented God. He had told them God was angry with them, and at that point he was not. And you know, their desire for water was not a sinful desire. I mean, it was a need, not a greed. And so he was not angry that they wanted water or needed water. And Moses was not to, you know, Moses disobeyed God. God had told him to speak to the rock, not to strike the rock. And God had not told Moses to yell at the people. But Moses had. And that was the incidence that would not allow that God's judgment was that Moses would not be allowed to enter the promised land. He could see it from the mountain, but he could not go there. Now, it's interesting that at the end of this song of the consequences of disobeying God, we see the direct consequence of disobeying God applied to Moses. So that is chapter 33 or 32 of Deuteronomy. As I said, we will be in chapter 33 next week. Looking forward to that. And I'm really looking forward to getting into Isaiah. I've been reading through Isaiah and looking at commentaries and everything, getting ready to jump into Isaiah and look at that and bring us further into the scripture. Isaiah is such a great book. Such a great book. So remember, we're going through the most quoted Old Testament books. The books quoted most by Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament. So that's our guide to our study Bible level Bible study. And hope you're enjoying it. All right, let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the collect for the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor run into any danger, and that guided by your Spirit we may do what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. I don't normally share items with you from my personal prayer lists, but these are fairly public and well known. So continue to be in prayer for Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You. He is in the hospital with complications from shoulder replacement surgery. He had his right shoulder replaced just about a week ago. I think it was last Tuesday. I'd have to look. And then he suffered a pulmonary embolism, which caused him to be rushed to the hospital. And when they got him to the hospital, they discovered that his kidneys were not functioning as they ought. So he has been on dialysis. The kidneys are functioning. They're just not functioning at the level they ought to. And this has been attributed most likely to a drop in his blood pressure during the surgery. Our bodies are so intricate and so balanced that it is a serious thing whenever we're undergoing surgery. So much of medical technology and medical advancement we take for granted, yet it's not the it's not a perfect science. The body is temperamental. Every body is different. And so how we react to surgery is different for all of us. Please continue to remember Phil in your prayers as he is recovering. He posted yesterday that he is doing better. He answered Todd Friel's text. He hasn't answered mine. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. He's been posting on Twitter, which is great. So lift Phil up. The other public prayer request from my list, my own prayer list, is Dr. Bruce Ware, who fell about a week ago and broke his hip. He is recovering well, but be in prayer for him. Also be in prayer for his daughter, who has traveled to Louisville to be with him, and be in prayer for Owen, who got left in Arkansas with the kids, and is he looked pretty frazzled in class last night. I'll just say that he doesn't normally show up in jeans and a flannel shirt. He's normally wearing a tie, but he's been taking care of the kids while his wife is in Louisville taking care of her father, who is doing well, but pray for his recovery as well. So that's squirrel chatter for this week. So make sure you get to church on Sunday. It's important for you to be in church on Sunday. You need the church. The church needs you. All right, folks. Have a great day. Have a great rest of the week. Have a great weekend. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here on Monday for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.